before I became a preaching pastor, I did a lot of music and youth stuff, and so we would have these awesome moments of like worship, you know what I mean? And you could feel this mood, and then the pastor would come up and crack a joke, and I'm like, bro, we just had this thing here, you know what I mean? And yes, you know what I mean. And like, I got jokes at the top of my sermon here. And I always say, I'd never do that. I don't want to break that mood because, you know, there's something powerful going on in the room and you don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about covering our faith with a mask, or rather unmasking our faith. That's what we want to do. Because oftentimes worship has been the only outlet to our faith that we've had, because that's what we've done. Like, man, we're too busy to go to serve here or volunteer here or go to this small group or whatever. So church, you know, worship, the Sunday morning event, becomes our only outlet to our faith. And what happened during COVID-19, even right now, like that Sunday morning thing went away. And even still, some of you can't, I'll talk to online people for a second, you only have this opportunity to do worship in your house because you can't get out. And that is the reality we're in. I'm not blasting, it's just reality. So how do we show our faith when worship is kind of out of the picture? We've been going through all of these different ideas about that. I'll run down the list that we've gone through first, but here comes the jokes, okay? We've been doing this wacky mask challenge, and it's been so much fun for me to receive in from you all these different masks that you've seen, or you've seen online, or created yourself, or whatever. So I've been showing you these different masks, and my favorite one of the week gets a $5 River Road gift card. So here's what I got over the last couple weeks. I've kind of been saving for you all. There's this one, it says, talk less, smile more. And it's got the Hamilton thing. Is that like a Hamilton thing? Okay, because I watched Hamilton. Unpopular opinion, but eh. So I didn't really get it. Sorry, those of you who love Hamilton. All right, this one here. This guy, I feel like Joe, man, you and your biker buddies would maybe have something like that. It's creative. I think it would be hard to have a full beard. Is it hard to have a full beard and a mask? Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Yeah, okay, so here's another one. There's this guy. That was from a movie, too. Nightmare Before Christmas, okay. So some of these, I know what they are, but I don't know fully what they are. Okay, this guy put a bottle. I suppose you can still breathe, but you don't want to be on this side of the guy. It's just going to shoot right out. But he can see, so whatever. All right, and then, this one. This started a theme. This one's a real mask, so people can actually see your facial expressions, which is kind of nice, right? That part's not bad, but this was a theme of people. So the next couple are like thematic of what I started to see people sending me other ones. This one, you see, she took a baby wipe thing and made a mask out of it so she could put it down for her wine. But the first one who sent me something like this was Brian Snow. So Brian, you get the gift card this week of the, that's a Huggies thing. Yeah, congratulations, Brian. Well done. We do have one more week of this series. And so send them in. I'm a little bit low on pictures now, so send them in so I can just bless somebody with another $5 gift card. And here's the thing. So here's like our what we've been going through for the last couple of weeks. If you kind of missed out, the alternate title to this was How to Be a Christian During Pandemic. You know, like practical ways that we can show our faith when we can't come to church so easily. So we talked about loving our church within the church. You know, loving one another within the church. That we talked about being bold in your faith, so like stepping out and telling somebody about your faith, you know, showing the gospel. Following Jesus, take up your cross, follow me. All right, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week was in the workplace. We talked about Levi, who was called by Jesus as a tax collector. Jesus calls him, follow me. He leaves everything, follows Jesus. And the first thing he does is take him to a work party. You know, he introduces Jesus to his workmates. Now, next week is our last week in it, but I started thinking about this. We could go on and on and on because some typical things that churches talk about, like giving, generosity, that's unmasking our faith. However, it's generally a very private thing. So I decided not to do a giving sermon. You're welcome. There was some other ones. I was thinking about this, actually. Do you ever have shower thoughts? Like where your shower thoughts are better than your other normal thoughts, and then you can't remember your good shower thoughts? Well, this was me this morning. I'm like, well, we could just do this forever, unmasking your faith. But most of them became private things like giving. You know, that's something between you and God. So we have this lingo in our church at Engage Newark called up in and out. Your upward relationship with God, your inner relationship with other disciples that you're journeying together with, and then out with other people who do not yet know Jesus or accepted his love. So I was thinking we could shape it in that form, but most of these are up in and trying to make it out so we can show our faith, we can unmask our faith to the world so the world can see it. So where we are today is we're looking into another story from Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, if you want to follow along there. Have you ever heard of this term called social distancing? Are you familiar with the phrase? Anybody? Yes? Okay. It's new. I mean, it's a new phrase. Before March, we'd never heard of it. Social distancing. And normally, it's realized in this, like, stand 6 feet apart, right? You have to stand 6 feet apart. No more than 10 people gathered in one room is generally what they're saying. Now they're kind of opening that up a little bit more. Now, I didn't realize it, but I had actually been social distancing since I was in sixth grade. I didn't know that fully. I went to Licking County Christian Academy where we actually had the six-inch rule. Did you ever hear about that? So if you were of the opposite gender, you had to be 6 inches away from the opposite gender. We didn't want those girls getting pregnant. All right, so I'm pretty sure that's what they wanted. They were like, yeah, don't give him a hug or anything like that. But social distancing, there's been lots of jokes and memes about social distancing. I saw a couple. I need to social distance from my refrigerator so I can flatten my curve. Yeah, that's happened over the course of the time here. The buttons on my jeans have started to social distance. This one's rather crude, but I'm totally a middle school boy at heart. So just bear with me. If you don't, just close your ears. If you can smell their fart, move farther apart. Masks don't cover that, by the way. Introverts and loners didn't notice social distancing at all because, that was a good thing for them, some of them. But the idea is this, and you know this already, we refrain from contact with one another, all right? We just, social distancing, we're trying to not be in proximity with one another. It's physical distancing. With online stuff, we can be socially together, but physically apart. And the idea is that if we refrain from contact with one another, then we'll reduce the chances for transmission of COVID-19. That's pretty much generally the idea. You've heard all those things before. Well, they say, if the mask worked, then why do we social distance? Well, social distance, why do we have to wear a mask? You know, things like that, whatever. You know, you've heard all those things. But we put them together. And it's supposed to slow down the spread of COVID-19. And it's worked twice in Ohio. You know what? Well done, Ohio. We've flattened that curve twice. Good job. Social distancing was prevalent in the Bible. Do you believe that? They had that idea of social distancing clear back in the Bible. The first socially distanced person in the Bible, can you think about who might it be? Who do you think it was? Oh, darn, it's already up there. I'm way ahead of myself. Cain. Cain was socially distant. Now, that was a little different story because he was actually being banished. He was punished, so he was socially isolated. It's a little different. But it's a different kind of quarantine, but it was a sickness nonetheless due to a spiritual condition. Social distancing takes place elsewhere in the Bible too. Joseph, held in the pit for a little while. So he was socially distant. Moses was hidden among the reeds as a baby. Elijah, after he blasted Jezebel and the prophets of Baal and all that, he isolated himself out in the wilderness. The Hebrew people were given instructions. This is more germane to us now, to put the sick outside the camp to socially distance them so they wouldn't infect the rest of the camp. It's a thing. In fact, throughout the scripture, you find instances where people were outside of the community in order to protect the community from disease. So Jesus kind of grows up in this culture. He's there in it where the sick are socially distanced. So does it sound familiar to you? Although in our culture, we socially distance the well. We need to protect the sick, but that's a little different. But in the case we're going to look at today, Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease. It's very treatable today. There's still leprosy, although in many places it's kind of eradicated. But there's still ways to treat all that. Still yet in India, there's like 500 or so leper colonies because they socially distance themselves and they live in these places. There's actually still one in America. And I don't blame them. It's on an island in Hawaii. So they're like, we're just going to stay, you know. That's actually a true story. They did that years ago, and all those lepers, even though they're healed, they're like, I guess we'll stay. It's Hawaii. I don't blame them. So these lepers would develop their own communities outside of the community at large. They congregate together because they were ostracized or they're quarantined, socially distanced from their normal people. But today in modern times, I grew up like thinking that with leprosy, like these people their fingers would fall off and their noses would fall off, and like did anybody else like have that idea? It's not true, okay? They still today they might have amputations due to secondary infections, but it's all very treatable now. Modern leprosy that we have today was actually present in Jesus' time, in Jesus' area, because of Alexander the Great doing conquests around China. His soldiers actually brought it into the Palestine area. So it was around about 300 years before Jesus Christ. But it was not around during the time when the Hebrews came out of Egypt and they were getting their instructions about how to handle leprosy. They didn't have leprosy. What happened there was an unfortunate translation of the Hebrew word that was actually meant to mean like unclean not perfected or not well. So really, if you look at into the Hebrew, you would find that brick walls and clothes can also have leprosy, you know, just the way the word is translated. They didn't have leprosy like we understand it today back in the Hebrew times, if you're following me on that, that makes sense. So certainly they were talking about some kind of disease, some kind of uncleanness, some kind of sickness. In Jesus' day, with the story we're about to read, I couldn't tell you if it's the modern leprosy or the old uncleanness. Either way, they had something wrong with them. They had some illness, and there were 10 guys with this leprosy that were outside the community. They were socially distant from their homes. Okay, so here's the story. Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11, going through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So he's walking along the border of these two areas, Samaria, Galilee. So he was with people who were from Galilee, which is where he was from. Also Samaria, which was the area where half-breeds were, people who had commingled with native populations, so their faith was not pure. These people were not seen as good people. The Samaritans were not good people to the Jewish people. They hated each other. So they were in this mix area where there's true Jewish people and then these Samaritans. Verse 12, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Or other versions say, have mercy on us. So there's these 10 guys. They're outside the village. They're doing what we call social distancing. And they approach Jesus cautiously. It says they stand at a distance because their culture has told them, no, you're unwell, and you do not get to make the other people sick. Uh-oh, we had a problem. I was in the doctor's office earlier this week. I had a doctor's appointment. It was on the second floor. And there was an older couple that had passed in through the door ahead of me. They were obviously going to use the elevator and go up. And in normal times, you just walk right on to the elevator, right? And you share the elevator ride up, and maybe you make small talk. I make small talk. I make it nice and awkward for everybody. But you just have the thing. And then we're all wearing masks, and I see them, and I feel them say under their mask, I hope he's not infected if he gets on our elevator. And so I said, I'll take the stairs. It was awkward, you know, like there was just like this, oh, maybe I don't want to infect them, you know what I mean? And there were older couples too, so I didn't want to, you know, just in case, you know. That's the way we are now. We're starting to get that, like, oh, should I go shake the hand? Maybe I don't want to give him the elbow, you know. There's this distance that we have. So these guys stayed at a distance, and they shouted at him. Don't you feel like you have to shout because you're wearing a mask now? Like, hey, come see. Yeah. So I was doing this for the people on the elevator, and they're doing this for Jesus. And somehow they know who Jesus is. And they know somehow that this Jesus guy can help. They weren't his followers, but they still know that Jesus had something for them. Isn't that the way of people? Even people who aren't in the church, a lot of them know that this Jesus character can do something for them. They might be afraid to actually worship or share in faith together, but they know that Jesus is different than what they have currently. Jesus has something for everybody, even people who don't follow him. But yet, they call him master. They submit themselves to his authority. Jesus, master, have mercy on us. So they're looking for help. Think about their position in life. So they're ostracized from their community. They're on the outside. They can't work, so they can't provide for themselves. They got no money. They got no food. They are left to the mercy of those who would pass by and bring them something. And if anybody can give mercy, it's Jesus. So look what happens. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. I found this really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, in this case, Jesus did not break social distancing, okay? He didn't go closer to them. He didn't come up and give them a hug. He didn't reach out and touch them. There's many instances in the scriptures where he does just that. But this time, he didn't break social distancing. He's just like, you guys stay over there and you guys go show yourselves to the priests. And that's the second thing that's interesting. Because in those days, if you had an uncleanness, once you were cleansed, you had to go to the priest for the priest to approve you to be welcomed back into the community. You had to be clean first and then go to the priest. He sent them before they were clean. I think that's interesting. If you get COVID-19, don't come to me before you're clean. Okay? And besides, I'm not the one to approve you to be in the community or not. You go to a doctor. And even the doctor would say, I don't really want to see you until you're done with the symptoms, and then we're going to test you first, and then you can come see me. And because you're not well, okay? You might still be infectious. These guys, they're instructed to go to the priest before they were clean. Normally, you come to the priest after you're clean. I think it takes remarkable faith, one, for Jesus to tell him to do that. Now, Jesus had it in tight with God, obviously. But it takes even more faith for the 10 to go, well, I'm not clean, but off I go. I'm just going to do this thing. So they're healed. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed on the way. Now, what if those 10 lepers had stopped and said, no way, Jesus. We aren't going anywhere till we're healed. What if they said, we can't go to the priest looking like this. Look at us. We can't go over there like this. We're not clean yet. What if they asked for mercy, but then demanded how the mercy was given? They asked for it, right? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But if you could do it like right now, that would be great, because my sister's getting married and I'd like to go see or whatever. Don't we do that a little bit? Jesus, have mercy on me, but I'm going to tell you how to make the mercy happen. We want to dictate the terms. Jesus, I need financial help. I need some money, but I'm still going to eat out every single day and waste money on things that I don't need. Jesus, I need a better job. Give me good employment. I need a good job, but I'm going to be late to the one I'm at now, and I'm going to steal stuff from my bosses, and I really hate it there. Jesus, can you make my kids respect me? But I'm going to keep on berating them and micromanaging them and picking on every single thing they do all the time. We ask for mercy for various things, but then we never live like the mercy is real and we can actually attain it. We can actually receive it. It can actually be alive within us. Meanwhile, Jesus is like, go. It's there for you. The mercy's there, but you have to go. You got to live into it. All the mercy you ever needed is right here waiting for you. Just go. The 10 lepers, they don't question the strange command that Jesus gives them. They just turn around and they leave to go show themselves to the priests. And on the way, ta-da, they're cleansed. They asked for mercy, and they were given a command. We ask for mercy, and then we give the command. We want to dictate the terms, but Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You ask for mercy, I'll dictate the terms on how they're given. We can't ask for Jesus' mercy and then never act like he actually gave it, or worse, never act like we actually asked for it. We got to live into the mercy that we have requested. So as they went, they were cleansed. Then look what happens. This is verse 15 to 19. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? I love it when Jesus gets a little bit snarky. You know, it's like, this is thick with the snark right here. We're not all 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner, the guy who probably wouldn't know to come back and praise God? The other Jewish people should, but the Samaritan doesn't. Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So only one guy comes back. He was a Samaritan, not the one that you would expect to come back. So here's what I want to say about this. They were united in their misery, but they were divided in their delivery. Right? They were together in the worst of times they were infected, they were outsiders, but yet foreigners to one another. Normally they would hate each other, but in this group, hey, they're connected in their misery together. We'll get over the fact that we're foreigners and we should hate each other while we're collectively in this misery. The disease leveled the playing field, so their misery united them. I remember when we lived in Dayton, we participated in this. There was this like massive day-long mud volleyball tournament. And it was so much fun. Like, just you get out there and play in the mud. And you can be a terrible volleyball player and like do okay in mud volleyball because the mud levels the playing field. So all the good people are just as bad as you are because it's just slop that you're in. So everybody's in this misery together. We played that tournament a couple of times. We lost quickly. But it was fun. We were in this thing together, and it was yucky while you were there, but you have this commonality with everyone. So these guys were ordinary people who ordinarily wouldn't like each other, but were social distancing due to the disease. And I'm certain that these guys who were now commiserating in their misery together, maybe they were saying things like this during these uncertain times. Now more than ever, during these difficult times, we're in this together for these challenging times. They said things like that. The more we stay apart, the more we find ways to stay close because we're all in the same boat together. And we're here to help you for these unprecedented times. During these unusual times, we're staying apart but together, apart but united together. You know, did they give themselves the commercial pep talk? You know, you've heard those phrases over and over and over. I doubt that they had it. We're together but we're apart. They were together but they were apart. And I felt like at the beginning of all this pandemic and the COVID-19 things, we were together. It was like the next like 9/11, you know, we were united in this thing. We're going to smash the curve together. We're going to conquer this thing. I prayed hard. I'm sure you are all praying hard. Pray. We're praying for mercy. God have mercy on us here. There's thousands a day dying in Italy. What will it be like when it comes here? So national concern and national unity, we were together on it. This was our moment to step forward, to rise above. We're going to conquer this virus. We were united in our misery, but now we're divided in our delivery. As we learn more and more about the disease, we realize maybe it's not as bad as what the government projected. Still in 6 months, we have nearly 200,000 dead. There'll be 200,000 by the end of the week. And I can already hear some of you saying, yeah, only 6% of those are just COVID patients. That report came out from CDC, 94% of comorbidities. It's not as bad as all that. I hear you. But let's just stop for a second and remember that 200,000 people have died prematurely, sooner than expected because of COVID-19. We don't celebrate hastened death. 200,000 Americans, that's just America. Okay, I don't know what the number is globally. It's a shame. 200,000 have passed away. And then yet, we would say that's actually a good thing because the initial projections were like 1.5 million by November. And we're still probably looking at 250,000 by November. Just saying. There's a lot of people who are really mad at the government right now because it's not as bad as what they projected. Those same people prayed for mercy. Instead of getting mad at the government, how about we turn back to Jesus and say thank you? Just for a minute. What if one leper hadn't turned back to thank Jesus? And instead, he looked down, he saw his healing, he turned back and said, see, it wasn't that bad. I shouldn't have been quarantined after all. And Jesus might say, no, it was that bad. But you prayed for mercy. We ask for mercy. Now let's live like we've had mercy. Let's live like we're living in mercy right now. That one guy came back to Jesus. He dropped at his feet and said, thank you, Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. faith, mercy, wearing a mask, social distancing, all of those things have contributed to make us better than projected. We're better than projected. And those 10 lepers had to go show themselves to the priest in order to be welcomed back into the community. Someday, we're going to show ourselves before our high priest, Jesus Christ, to be welcomed into his full community. And what will he say of us in regards to how we behaved during a pandemic? We're talking about unmasking our faith during a pandemic. Most of us just want to unmask and go back to normal. But what if unmasking our faith looked like taking a break from being angry for a little while? Let's take a break from being angry at the government and the rules and the ridiculousness and give your soul a break. Give yourself a break from it. Replace it with thankfulness to God for mercy. There might be a time when anger is justified and anger spurs us to action. I'm not saying that it's never there. We're not there yet. Or let's just take a break from it for now. Every week I've given us a challenge. Challenge to love your church family within, or a challenge to talk to your neighbor, whatever it was. You know, just different things. This week, I want you to take a break from anger. Take a break from being frustrated with the COVID-19 stuff. And every time you feel anger rise within you, every time you feel that urge to complain, every time you hear someone starting that conversation again because you've talked about it over and over, and you feed that cycle of anger, you keep feeding it with the things. You know, Facebook has an algorithm that if you click on one thing, like, it's going to give you more of the same thing, so it will keep feeding you with the same things. Give yourself a break from it. And every time you feel that welling up within you, I want you to do this. Say thank you to God. Just replace it with thankfulness to God. Because I believe every time we feed it, we put a mask over our faith. And we're not showing the true character of Christ's followers. So, I know you prayed for mercy. Now let's live into the mercy that we've received. Take a week off from the anger, replace it with gratitude. And every time you feel it coming up within you, step back from it. Nobody can do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. We're a people of faith. We prayed for mercy. Let's be thankful that we received that mercy. So take the mask off of your faith. Show people how grateful you are, not how angry you are. And maybe we'll get to hear Jesus say to us, "Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well." I don't think the Samaritan man only received physical healing that day. I think he was healed spiritually too. And some of us need some spiritual healing around COVID-19. We need some mercy. And we need to receive his mercy and be thankful for it. So ask for his mercy. Ask for his grace and then live into it. Don't feed the anger. Don't live in the anger any longer. Receive mercy and allow your soul to heal. Let us pray. God, these lepers had a lot of courage. I think they had courage just to step out and ask, to ask for healing, to ask Jesus, who they were not a follower of. They stepped out and asked Jesus to heal them and make them well. They didn't even follow him. Now we follow Jesus. We follow you. Give us the strength. Give us courage to ask for mercy and then to live into it boldly. So we're not feeding our anger, feeding our frustrations, our complaints, but take the mask that those things cover our faith with and replace it with gratitude for what you've done in our lives. God, we ask that you give us that and help us to live into it boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand for a closing song.